First Paul, if you can tell the time of this right.
He's in jail.
I'm sorry?
He's in jail.
Yeah, he's in jail. In Jerusalem. Is that right?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Yeah, he's in Rome. He's in Rome, isn't he?
Trick teacher.
Isn't he under house arrest?
He was, but I think that this particular time he's back in chains.
Yeah.
And he's actually in prison. And we know that he's shortly to be executed, and but he had been under house arrest for a long time. And we know he's in prison for his faith, waiting execution. Who's the boss in the Roman Empire at this time?
Nero.
Yeah, it's Nero, isn't it? He's been there for a considerable time. Very, very powerful. And he hates the Christians. We know from secular history that he was responsible for the fire that ravaged Rome. And of course, he had to have an excuse. Who did he point to?
Christians.
He pointed to the Christians. They had already been persecuted and were being persecuted. Pressure putting on them, not only in Rome, but throughout the Roman Empire. So they had reason to fear. So Nero blamed this fire on the Christians. And there was a tremendous persecution that cost a lot of Christian lives that particular time. Paul, in this letter, has encourage Timothy to look upon his chains. Now he's talking about his own chains, not Timothy's chains. So don't be ashamed and don't fear. Then Paul wants Timothy to follow in his footsteps and have courage as Paul has courage. And don't fear mankind, which is something that would be very, very difficult to do. But don't fear what man can do to it. Fear the Lord, who can take what?
Soul. Your soul.
Both the body and the soul, right? Yes. Paul wants Timothy to be faithful witness to Christ. He wants Timothy to follow Christ's example. Christ did not fear already rejected, did he? Didn't fear loss. Didn't fear death. That's because Jesus was so rich. He had a lot of monetary riches. Is that right? No, he didn't have a place to lay his head down, did he? No place to even sleep. But he had no fear of rejection, no fear of mankind, no fear of loss of life. And Paul mentions this and wants Timothy to be a follower as he is. Paul says to Timothy, What you've seen so far, as far as evil, not even close to what it's going to be. Said it's going to be much, much worse. Paul speaks in this chapter 3 about the last days. Let's take a look at that for a few minutes. Question number one, we have Paul mentioned these things will come about in the last days. What does he mean by that? Anybody? Yes, sir.
Could it be the last period of human history?
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody on Zoom? Speak right up if you get a chance. Yes, Gary.
I've got a note here that says Timothy's lifetime.
In Timothy's lifetime, the last days will show up. Okay.
Isn't it the last days until Christ comes?
Okay. Christ's second coming. Is that the last days?
Maybe it's in a person's last day.
Okay. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Verse 13, directed. Brothers, we want to know about those who die. But the question here is that the Thessalonians are concerned about what happens to those who have died. And Paul is giving them an answer here. Brothers, we want to know about those who died. We do not want you to be sad as others who have no hope. We believe Jesus died and that he rose again. So, because of Jesus, God will bring together with Jesus those who have died. What we tell you now is the Lord's own message. We who are living now may still be living when the Lord comes again. We who are living at that time will be with the Lord, but not before those who have already died. The Lord himself will come down from heaven. There will be a loud command with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and those who died and were in Christ will rise first. After that, those who are still alive at that time will be gathered up with, we will be taken up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. So comfort each other with these words. Now I think Paul there's a lot of conjecture here. You wonder whether Paul thinks that the last days are the second coming of Christ is going to be in his lifetime. He doesn't have much time, does he? But if it's in Timothy's lifetime, he's still a young man, a little bit of a conjecture. What is going to happen before the last day or in the last days. Okay. Was it happening in those days when Paul and Timothy were in it? Yeah. What? They had all this grief, all this persecution, all these terrible things not only happening to them, but happening by everyone else. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 9. Now, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, these things are going to happen. What are some of the things that are happening?
Lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving.
Yes.
Slanderers, without self-control, holding to a form of godliness, although they deny its power, and avoid these such men as these.
Reckless, conceited.
Okay.
Got that.
Remember this. There will be many troubles in the last days. In those times, people will love themselves and money. See that today?
Yep.
Yeah. They'll brag and be proud. See that today? Yeah. People brag about their money, they're proud of their accomplishments when it comes to money. They'll say evil things against others. See that today? They won't obey their parents. Hey, about that. You see that today? Boy, you see that today. Have no disrespect for their parents. People will not be thankful or be kind to people God wants. You see kindness in the world today? Yeah, a little string here and there. They have no respect, either. They'll not have any love for others. See that today. Yeah, you do. They'll refuse to forgive others. They'll speak bad things. I remember my mother telling me, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap.
She did too, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. A time ago. Yeah, and it was not good soap either back in those days. Certainly didn't have any fragrance. But I learned a lesson there. They won't control themselves. Yes.
Ron, no. Could these last days be in reference to the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus? Could be that whole period of time.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry, I had my hearing aids turned
down. The last days mentioned here be the period of the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it seems like all the things you just mentioned have always been happening.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So how are we going to be prepared for that? You said they're happening all the time. It happened back in the first century. It's happened all along during that period of time. We run into that same stuff today as we had the first century Christians had to deal with back in the first century. So what do we need to do?
Don't be a part of it. Be ready every day.
Yeah. Be ready. innocent and absent, and long for the coming of the Lord. So, regardless of the year or the situation or the time, we need to be constantly ready and eager in the way the Lord shall come. People will be cruel and hate what is good. In the last days, people will turn away against their friends. They'll do dumb stuff without even thinking, says foolish things occur, says the dumb stuff. This is the name of it. They'll be conceited and proud. They'll love pleasure. They'll not love God. If they will not, they will continue to act as if they serve God, but they won't really serve God. You see that today? Yeah. See that, don't you? Paul tells Timothy to stay away from that, these people. So how do you answer that? Paul's telling Timothy to avoid these people. Are they gone to the point where they can't recover? You still try to teach these people what you're like? Kind of a tough question, isn't it?
No, not really. We're always supposed to be ready and willing to aid someone, either in their spiritual life or physically. That's what being a Christian is all about. Just like Jesus gave his life to the sinners, so that sinners might be saved. Well, that includes us, even though we name the name of Christ and attempt to be faithful, but it's still available to all those who haven't, even though they haven't stepped up yet. There's always that opportunity right up to the very last.
Absolutely. We can't forsake the efforts that we need to put forth in order. We have an opportunity here. We can maybe find somebody who is lost in the way. And these people certainly have, but my mother used to always say, you never shut the door. You always want to leave the door open. Thank you, Bob. That's a good point. Yes, sir.
I was going to I lost it. It went.
Senior moment.
Yeah.
You're getting there.
I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah. I have those all the time. Yeah, not very much fun, but just part of getting old.
Well, I know what I know what it was going to say. That people don't run around with a sign on their forehead that I'm this or I'm that, or, you know, I don't respect my parents or whatever. So it takes time to know people, so you aren't just judging a person. You don't find out most of these things to start off with, and even if you do have to not cast your pearls before swines, you always need to treat them as an enemy. To cup of cold water, what's best for them, food. You know, you need to be respectful of them because God created them too.
Well, some of us are the same thing. I mean, we're no better than anybody on the street who hasn't obeyed the gospel. We've just obeyed the gospel. I don't think I'm any better than anybody else.
Yeah. Well, we're taught to be humble.
I mean,
you know, not consuming, that's for sure. But we're also, I want to be ready to give an answer to those who asked about our faith. And so that could be anyway. There's Paul also mentions Janus and Jambres in his letter here to Timothy. Who are those two people? They're mentioned only once, or twice in this chapter.
Janus and Jambres, or
Janus and Jambres, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it said Exodus 7, but their names weren't there, but it says they were magicians and did all this weird stuff.
Those are the only two times in this chapter in the Bible that these two people are mentioned by name. Now we have to remember that Paul, who's writing this letter, is Jewish. We know that Timothy, who is part Jewish, has a Jewish mother and a Jewish grandmother. He's half Jew, but he was raised in the Jewish faith. They would know about the Old Testament, wouldn't they? They would know about Jewish law. But they would also know about traditions, Jewish traditions. And this is the only time that these two men are mentioned, and it comes through Jewish tradition. Because we're not told who those people are, or by name at least. They were the magicians, weren't they? In Pharaoh's court. You remember the situation? Moses was in front of Pharaoh. Yes, sir.
Oh, I was just going to, you asked what the occasion was, and it was during the plagues, when Moses and Aaron were delivering the word of God and saying that this is what was going to happen, and they did it. But then those magicians also did it. But one was throwing their staffs on the ground and making a snake, and the magicians did the same thing, but Aaron and Moses' staff ate those other snakes.
That's right. Yeah. These two magicians were Janus. I think that they did it by trickery.
Yeah.
They were magicians. So they could make it look real. And so they were opposed to everything that Moses was teaching. Everything that Moses was telling. And they were opposed to that, and this is what they are required to come to. In chapter 3. Are the people like that today?
Oh, yeah.
See it all the time, aren't I? Television, YouTube. Some of these people that use trickery. I remember this gentleman by the name of Peter Popoff. I don't know if you've ever seen him or heard of him, but he's a charismatic faith healer, and he does a lot. He'll send you a prayer cloth if you just write it. We'll send you a prayer cloth, blessed prayer cloth, that will give you healing. Little vial, little plastic vial of miracle spring water. was one of the things that he used to send out to people. Of course, you got to have a donation for that. He was healing people, laying his hands on them, healing these people. He was picking out people in the crowd, and he would say, there's someone now over here named Jason, and he's having terrible back pain. I'm calling on the name of the Lord to heal you. So then they found out how he knew all this information. So they did some trickery of their own. What he was doing, or as the people came in, he was having them write down their name and their complaint and some personal information. He had a listening device here. His wife was in the back room reading this information, passing it on to him. Well, somebody smart enough came in, and they picked up the frequency so they could hear what was going on, and they exposed him and his wife to this trickery. And he was gone for a number of years. But he's back on television again. I mean, there's people flooding you with money. Can you imagine how many people in this world have been seduced to all this trickery? And what happened? Because they've lost their souls. They lost their souls. Jehovah's Witnesses have claimed now about 57 times that the second coming of the Lord has happened. First time was in 1894 or something like that. Second time, well, he never showed up. Second time was 1914. He never showed up. Some people say, well, he showed up in Arkansas, but people weren't ready for him, so he went back to heaven. The Holy Witnesses teach that kind of stuff. And I think the last time was 2009, 2010, somewhere in that neighborhood, Jesus was going to show up in San Diego. I was down in black and white. And they will actually go out and teach that kind of thing. And it makes you wonder about all the untold millions of people that have been lost, that lost their soul because of this type of trickery that's being you see Jimmy Swagger now. He has a big program, has his own TV channel. But every month he has a July telethon, sheriffon, I think he calls it. It rakes in millions. The poor souls of poor veterans to this type of trickery is very, very sad. What does Jude 3 tell us about God's word? And you have to remember, I don't know, last time I heard it was like 4,000. Different religions. So take your head. There's lots of prophecy being explained in today's terminology. There's lots of prophecies being made. All kinds of new stuff going on. What does Jude 3 tell us?
The word was once for all delivered to the saints.
There you go. And so it was once for all delivered to the saints in the first century. So what do we have today? They had it all, once for all. It's the same today, isn't it? This is what we rely on. This was first century. This is exactly what we have in the 21st century. And you have people, they listen to what tickles their fancy, what they like to hear, what they enjoy. Oh boy, I like that. Man, that guy is really a great student. That's wonderful and good, but if he doesn't speak the truth, then it's all wasted. Someone read Acts 17:11.
Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
Is that a suggestion for us?
The command. The command.
We're more diligent than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures. They didn't just take and grant his service of scripture daily to see if those things that were said were true. This is an example for us today? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We need to search the scripture daily to see if those things that are spoken are true. I have a upcoming appointment with a couple of interesting ladies that showed up on my front porch to hold us witnesses. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity to visit with them one day. And we'll see what happens. I was kind of looking also for the two young boys who come in with black pants and white shirts and knock on my door. But we haven't had them show up in my neighborhood yet. Looking forward to having them come for a visit. That's all that I have today on chapter 3. Has anybody got any comments or questions about what we talked about today? As I mentioned earlier, there's next week's lesson. This will be the last lesson in Timothy letters, chapter 4. It's a very, very powerful chapter. And then we'll go into Titus the following week.